Yes, indeed. You thought we wouldn't come back, but we're back. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain, here with the ever handsome Andreas Ruiz of I Believe in Myself Coaching and Speaking.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Well,
very kind.
I just call it how I see it. I'm like the home plate umpire, just calling balls and strikes.
Strike!
But this would not be the Common Good Radio Show if I did not give the appreciation and the grace and everything that I have and put first a very loving Lord that has made it so not only we get to do a cool radio show every single week where we highlight the amazing organizations that we have in the community, but we both have blessed families, blessed lives, and that's all thanks to an amazing Lord. And I want to thank him by reading the Lord's Prayer this week. Sorry, Andreas. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
One of my favorite parts, I think, this week is that forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's a hard one. You know, it's really hard to forgive people when they like say something wrong and they do something wrong to you. But what do you tell me?
You gotta change the word. You know, it's not hard. It's doable.
Challenging.
It's doable.
It's doable.
And then you go from doable to easy.
And that forgiveness is like, for me not to forgive, me to hold on to a grudge, it's like me holding on to the rock where once I forgive it, it's putting it down.
Yeah, and it's so, for you. It's not for them.
It's not my rock. To rock. Sorry, Mom. So anyways, that's good. So we have an amazing show for you today, like we do every day. And we have one of my favorite organizations possibly on the world, and PEP Inc. here. And we kind of a special PEP Inc. appearance this month, because we have not only Kate Meyer, who is the prevention coordinator with Community Prevention Coalition of PEP Inc., to talk about the 6th annual opioid misuse prevention symposium on October 25th at the Casino del Sol. But we also have Captain John Levitt here with the Tucson Police Department Counter Narcotics Alliance and the chair of the Community Prevention Coalition. So thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you guys in here. And then I guess we'll start off is like what need is out there around opioids and fentanyl. This seems to be like, particularly this past 2-3 years, like that's the new hot thing that's out there, on how is this being addressed around this issue, particularly in the symposium.
Well, I'll tell you that I'm John Levin, and I'm captain of the police department and with the Counter Narcotics Alliance. And I have to say that 6 years ago, when the symposium first started, I first transferred out to narcotics. And that's, you know, I've got 40 years in law enforcement now and spent the last 6 doing specifically narcotics because of the opioid epidemic. It's mm-hmm. something that drew me to that. And I've worked with the CPC and with Kate in particular for that entire time. And it's my view that the biggest need that we have that the symposium helps with is getting the message across to everybody in the community that treatment's available, it's effective, and it's affordable. Mm. There are too many people my age in the community that make too many important decisions who don't understand this is not Cheech and Chong's era in the 70s, mm-hmm. that this treatment mm-hmm. is really good and it really works and it's really available and it's really affordable. And so they put roadblocks in front of folks that suffer from opioid use disorder and other drug-related misuse issues. And they based on their experience, because, well, we know it all when we get to be 50, 60, 70, we know it all. And we think that this stuff doesn't work because it didn't work then, or mm-hmm. wasn't effective then, or it wasn't available. But through my work with CPC, I've learned over the last 6 years that, boy, it is out there. There are experts. There are some people who can really do amazing things in the community mm-hmm. today. You don't have to wait. They do all the grant writing, so there's grants behind all this, but mm-hmm. people today that need treatment can get it, and that's what I've picked up over the last 6 years. And Kate's been there the whole time. She's been there. She's the expert, not me.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the part just about how, you know, the older generation, my parents, you know, even me to a point, you know, I'm tipping around 40. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but we don't all we know is the old technologies, the old information, the old systems in regards to dealing with this opioid issue, with at this point is almost an old issue because fentanyl is coming on the scene hot and ready. I'm guessing when it comes to getting their children assistance and getting them help, it's been maybe a roadblock and getting them to those places because they don't know anything about it, or they think that it's been inefficient throughout the years.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, don't want to take all the time because Kate's really the expert on this, but I'll tell you, this is not even, I mean, we always look to kids and young people and saying that's where the problem is. Well, the opioid stuff started with people my age, and I'm 60, going to be 62 this year, and so.
You don't look a day over 58.
Yeah, thank you. But it's true, you know, it's the decade between 50 and 60 in the last 6 years that had the highest death rate, and now that's moving down to younger people, for sure, because of the economics of the drug markets and how it works and how cheap it is. But the people who died the most in the last 6 years were 50 to 60 year olds.
Yeah. Wow.
Long-standing prescription drug users that were, you know, injured at work or had other issues that, you know, just time accumulated, and they were taking Oxy. They went from Oxy that were being overprescribed and from prescription to addiction. And now, I think we've really worked well as a community and as a state in trying to reduce that problem. There's a huge reduction in prescription of opioids now. And I think people that need it are still getting it, although everyone I know says that's not true. Everywhere I go, I think it is true. So,
Yeah. And that's probably where fentanyl is kind of stepping in its place in a lot
it
of
did.
Ways possible.
It did.
It's shifted a lot, and younger people in their 20s and 30s are unfortunately becoming addicted to it, and it's very strong, and it's very dangerous, and you know, it's really sad to see these people go down these paths to where their life is at risk every day when they're using, and fentanyl's cheap, and it's easy to get, and it's highly addictive.
And they're opioid naive. I mean, for the most part, they're not the 50-year-old that's been taking Oxy for 30 years. You know, and so that's one of the reasons that, yeah, that's the problem now is young people. But it wasn't at first.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's interesting.
It's shifted a lot.
And then I kind of like turn the same question back to you, Kate. We have probably about a minute, so we'll go into our first break about, you know, What do you hope that this symposium achieves in regards to addressing the need around opium and fentanyl addiction that's just raging right now?
So the theme is social determinants of health in prevention, intervention, and treatment. And we've really worked hard to cover all three of those areas and have folks from all three philosophies come in and share what works for them. And so we're having folks talk about primary prevention and like social programs with students and youth. We're having folks talk about harm reduction and intervention and housing as well. And we're having folks talk about treatment modalities that they work on that work. And the primary audience, I would say, is honestly anyone that has connection or interaction with people. It's for everyone.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, if you have interaction with youth, you should know more about fentanyl and opioids and what to talk to youth about so that they don't have unfortunate experiences. There's, you know, a lot of young people dying from opioid overdoses because they have like one fentanyl pill.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about all that and more after this break. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Andreas Ruiz. We'll be right back after the break.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. I am your co-host, Andres Ruiz, with the Pastor Jonathan Lee McClain.
Oh, very good, brother.
Yes, my good son. Yes, and we have some very special guests with a lot of great information. I just learned so much in just that first segment. We have Captain John Levitt, and we also have Kate Myers, and they were just dropping the knowledge when it comes to opioid and fentanyl. And I've been hearing a lot about fentanyl lately, and it's really scary just to think about how they're putting out colorful type of pills out there, you know, just to attract the younger generations, which is really unfortunate. It's really scary. And we were talking about the amazing symposium that they're putting together. And I know that it's going to be at the casino October 25th, I believe you said, Kate?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from what time to what time is it going to be?
From 8 until 5. 5.
8 until 5, excellent. A full event.
Full event with breakfast and lunch provided. Lots of speakers, lots of vendor tables, lots of information.
Nice. And then just the information, I know you mentioned a few of the topics that they'll be talking about. So how many speakers will you be having, and like who are the people that should be attending this this event?
I think we have 8 topic areas that are pretty broad in range. Our keynote speaker is Carlton Hall, and he's nationally known for training and prevention. The title of his workshop is The Fierce Urgencies of Now, Changing the Conversation About the Role of Prevention, Commercialization, and the Inequity in a Time of National Crisis. So I'm really looking forward to hearing his talk. He's going to be addressing stigma as well.
That sounds like your type of guy for sure.
Yeah.
And as far as folks who should attend, I would say, you know, anyone who works with people, like folks in social services, folks in treatment, folks in education, especially, just, you know, anyone that has contact with people on their caseload that need direction and help for services.
Yeah, and I think, like you were saying before the break, in a lot of ways, anybody who interacts with people. I mean, really, like the big thing that I've been seeing about this, and it's just, it's devastating. I don't know a family that's not affected by the opioid epidemic. I don't know a single family. Like, I don't know if you know a family that doesn't kind of deal with this problem. But I know in my own family, you know, we have at least one or two members that have battled with it. And I think that's why this symposium and the work you guys do is just so urgent. Like you know, the speaker was going to say, because we're all affected by it. It's similar to the kind of issue that I deal with homelessness. Like, we're all affected by it. We all have a family member that's been homeless or is dealing with homelessness in some capacity. So yeah. I'll turn the question back over to you, John. You know, how important has this issue been for the Counter Narcotics Alliance of the TPD?
Well, so the prevention stuff is a lot more important than people may realize. And so, of course, I'm in the enforcement end. That's what we do with the Counter Narcotics Alliance. But what we do in the way of enforcement really only keeps people who are not selling from selling. I call it keeping honest people honest. And then people who are not using from using. And I call that keeping sober people sober. And so that's what the enforcement stuff really is designed to do. And what it does is it lets everyone know there's a consequence if you're involved in selling drugs or you're involved in using drugs potentially. And I say that because, you know, 80% of Americans follow the rules. If there's a rule saying you're not supposed to do it, they don't do it. Even marijuana, people say, well, everyone uses marijuana. Well, everyone or a lot of people have tried marijuana, but less than 10% of America uses marijuana on a regular basis. So it's like, the rule followers are out there, and that's what we're designed to try to encourage. But there's an unlimited supply of pills. There's an unlimited supply of fentanyl. There's no question. We have just ginormous seizures in southern Arizona. Huge every day. I mean, just huge. You see them on the news every day. And so it doesn't do us any good to have those seizures if people continue to start using drugs. And so our whole focus now is about making sure that we don't just do the enforcement, but that we're involved, like I am today, in the whole education, prevention, treatment side of the equation, doing what we can to lend our support and information to try to help that. And as you know, the Tucson Police Department, anyway, has got a program where police officers are no longer required to arrest you if they find narcotics on your possession. It's their choice. They can use their discretion. They can get you into treatment if they think that's appropriate, or they can arrest you. And sometimes one is a better tool than the other. And you know, it's entirely up to them about what they do. That was never true when I was growing up as a cop.
That's interesting that you say those terms again. You're saying prevent the dealers from becoming dealers and keep the sober people sober.
Keep it in sober people sober and honest people honest is the way we put it.
Yeah, I like that modality just because, I mean, a lot of the work that I do with the unhoused population, it's a matter of, okay, let's get the people who need the services. Let's cut the wheat so all that's left is the chaff. Because I think that's where, in a lot of ways, where there is overlap between, you know, left, right, middle, center, and above is we want to get the people help that need the help. And the criminals, we have an institution for that. I think we can all agree that we have an institution that handle people that are criminals, and we have to protect the rest, those, particularly the ones that are in most need from that. So to see that, you know, to that the assistance that they need is available to them so they can get that help. So that way you guys, the Tucson Police Department in particular, can do what we have you guys for, to make sure that we find those criminals and we get them away from hurting the people that are vulnerable in our community.
Well, and so what the symposium does and what Kate does is she keeps the law enforcement folks educated, and we hopefully bring back real-time information about what's going on. Like, for instance, I don't think most people realize that, you know, if you're using fentanyl pills today, you know they're fentanyl, 100%. Mm-hmm. There's no one has bought anything but a fentanyl pill mm-hmm. for 5 years on the streets.
Well, kids don't necessarily know.
Exactly.
No. And that's the scary part, is that kids, mm-hmm. you know, getting mm-hmm. pills from other kids at parties, and they don't realize that they're counterfeit, and they don't know that counterfeit pills are full of fentanyl and aren't actually from a pharmacy. Mm-hmm. So they don't realize that what they're taking is... could be deadly.
And that's the reminder. That's the constant reminder when we get in, because we're dealing with generally not kids. Generally mm-hmm. what we're dealing with are say 30 to 50 year olds that are in the business of making money off mm-hmm. selling drugs.
Yeah.
But that's exactly the point. So they're in our ear, CPC, all the members, there's, you know, a huge group of people there that are all pulling the same direction. Mm-hmm. And they keep us on the idea that it's the people that are 16 years old that take a pill because, well, they know their dad was taking Oxy. And so yeah. why can't they take one pill? Because one pill kills now, because it's not Oxy.
Yeah.
It wasn't produced in a UL lab. Mm-hmm. It was produced by guys with a blender and some color and fentanyl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. I mean, the point of the symposium is to make sure we marry up all the different pieces so that everybody understands what the issue is. Mm-hmm. And the issue is huge. And it, you know, I'm not joking when I say this, but it's gonna go make heroin go the way of LPs and vinyl records. Mm. Although there's a small resurgence, it is so cheap. It is so, it's ubiquitous everywhere. Mm. Fentanyl pills exist.
Man. Well, that's up to here.
And it's really potent and very highly addictive. A 3-day supply of legally produced pharmaceutical opioids is enough to get you physically dependent and fentanyl stronger.
That's wild. So how do people register for this event?
Yeah. So you go to pimacpc.org/RX symposium, or you can call 520-205-4781 and register. And we want everyone to attend. We really do. And then there's also opportunities for people to have vendor tables if they work in a field that is relevant and of the same topic, so that they can give out their resources and information.
All right, Kate, John, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you. This was really awesome.
Yeah, that was Kate and John with PEP Inc. and Tucson Police Department. We will be back right after this break. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to your favorite show, the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am still... if not your favorite pastor, let's say just the top 10 list, Pastor John McClain, here with my favorite motivational speaker and coach, Andres Ruiz. Yes, sir. Yeah, I learned how to say that from our engineer, Tom. Yeah. Yeah, I've been working on it. I say it in the mirror. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool.
No, I can't hear you. No.
You can't hear me? Okay, here we go.
It's Tom's first day. You got to excuse him.
Yeah.
He'll get it.
Yeah.
He's turning 81 in a few months.
No, he's lying. He's lying.
When's
he's
your birthday, Tom? December 3rd. So I'm,
really? So I'm December 8th.
December 1st.
Oh, December 1st. I'm December 8th.
Wow. So you're older than, or he's older, just slightly older than you.
He's slightly older.
7 days like older.
7 days older than me. Yeah.
Well, we have another good buddy of mine here in studio today. I had the blessing of being able to have him on to highlight an event that he's having that I support 1,000%. Because, you know, not only is it a Christian event, but it's an event to really try to help people, which is like, that's what God called me to. He said, hey, John, I need you to help millions of people. So I'm gonna continue to do that. And definitely, you know, with guys like this as friends, it definitely will make it a lot easier. And this gentleman I'm speaking of, his name is Damian Long. He works there at Teen Challenge. And the event we're speaking about is Tables and Testimonies, which will be held at Reed Park on October 22nd from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thank you for joining us, Damian.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you blessing me with the ability to come on here and kind of spread the love of what this is all about.
Yeah, well, you've been on like a little press junket run lately, so you're an old Wiley pro at this point, right?
Yeah.
I'll just sit back. You lead the conversation.
Seasoned radio veteran.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. Yeah, God has gifted you with many talents.
Yeah, Jasmine over at 90.1 Impacto was very gracious and blessed me with an ability to come on there yesterday, and so... If anybody hasn't heard that one, go check that out.
Nice. So before we bust into Teen Challenge, all the amazing stuff they do, Tables and Testimony, this is an awesome event. Let's just bring the viewers back to just how we know each other. I mean, mm-hmm. it's such a beautiful testimony that both of us have over the past 11, 12 years since this crazy little whirlwind called Occupy Wall Street that turned into Occupy Tucson happened, where we were both part of organizers in our own right in that. And surprisingly enough, at that time, we were both kind of twirling in a lot of ways, even though it felt like we were doing the right thing, and through that we were able to really find what our calling from God was. So I guess you kind of break us down on like how you went from that to finding the Teen Challenge program and what that's done for you.
Yeah, 2011 was when things really started taking a turn for the worst. My drinking, my drugs, my drinking, it really caused a lot of strained relationships in my life, caused the mother of my child to take my son and go to Chicago. And because I was just, I was full blown. And then that caused me to couch surf until I couldn't anymore. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, grass surfing, you can say, in various parts of Tucson, and found myself something I thought I'd never be, homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And, my addictions, it's like they never left me. They were still with me everywhere I went. So through my homelessness and through ending up in Occupy Tucson, I just came across it one day and I seen all these people and I was like, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, oh, you should join us. I had nothing but time.
Yeah.
And so, at that time I was like, okay. And I saw what was going on and I saw the amount of people that was there. And that's when I was meeting people like you and Lewis Arthur and like some other people that were really on these boots of ground kind of movement. And I was like, wow, this is pretty big. And so I joined up, became a part of it. And so that was an interesting time in my life. I still tell people about that to this day. I say, this 2011 was a very interesting year because it was the first year I was homeless, but also had this huge, I never seen so many tents in one small place in my life. There was hundreds of tents at this little park. You couldn't see any grass at all.
Wow.
Except for like right in the middle, I think, right there.
Yeah, it was wild.
By the food tents. And so, that was it was a low point in my life. I learned a lot, but at the same time, you got to see that how much hurt was really out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of it. But I wasn't willing to put down my vices to truly have clarity in the whole situation.
Yeah, and then a few months we all did that, and the tents were swept away, and you probably like me, you found yourself just regular old homeless, and yet you still, God led you down a path to find Teen Challenge. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and so through the course of that homelessness and through the bad choices, bad relationships after that, seeking out different women that I could shack up with just to be off the streets, and I started to have more successes, not like, like I have today, but I wasn't on the streets anymore. I was getting fed, but I was still in my mess. And so I ended up leaving Tucson to with a woman to go up to Idaho in the Northwoods in 2013, I think it was. And so, and that turned out very badly because,
it sounds like it would. Yes.
She ended up having a complete mental breakdown, going into a mental hospital. I ended up homeless again in a place I had no, like at least in Tucson, I had resources.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mother lived here and I was able to go take a shower there here and there, like when it was convenient.
Yeah.
There, I had nobody and it was cold. And I was like, okay, what am I doing up here?
Yeah.
And so that's when I really started to realize that what I was doing wasn't working. But I still continued. I ended up pressing on. I ended up hooking up some resources up there with like a little homeless shelter type thing where it was like just a floor with like 100 people in it. Little tiny like a little office building type thing. It wasn't even like an actual like a Salvation Army type place. And so they ended up hooking me up with resources, bus passes, stuff of that nature. And that led me into a soup kitchen. And a soup kitchen up there is where I met a man named Mike. And Mike asked me if I knew Jesus. And I was like, who's this guy? You know, I'm up here just trying to get food. I'm hungry. I'm outside. Like, I'm cold. And he's like, let's go have coffee. He took me back to his house that night. And I met his wife. And I was like, at first I was like, I'm not going anywhere with this guy. You know, this could be an axe murderer. Yeah. And so that was that. And then ended up getting saved. And then up on a bus about a year later after doing real poorly, ended up at Teen Challenge in 2015, January 29th, and I never looked back.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk about all that and more after the break. But before we go to break, this is Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. My friend Andres Ruiz has a little something to tell you.
Yeah. So right now what I'm doing is I'm putting together my third Legacy Coaching Academy for anybody that's interested in becoming a life coach. I will help you learn how to coach, also believe in yourself that you are a great coach. And I will also teach you how to get clients and make money, and where you can go from part-time to full-time as a coach. So if you're interested, send me an email at ibelievecal@gmail.com, or you can check out my website at ibelievemyself.org. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, we're back with Smooth Listening. I always love when he plays that Smooth Listening bit on that fourth segment. It just calms us down. Like, take it easy now, people. We're closing it up. Go ahead and get cozy. Take a nap afterwards.
Yep.
Even though I Am Real Estate show is on afterwards, and I'm on that show too, so don't get too cozy.
Take a two-minute nap and then.
Yeah, just come back at it and listen to me some more. So this is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We highlight the good in our community. Also, we highlight the God in our community. And we have exactly that here with a good friend. He's going to be probably one of my best friends in my life. His name is Damian Long. He's here with another one of my best friends, Andreas Ruiz. And Damian is with Teen Challenge. And I guess before we jump into the Tables and Testimonies event, tell us, what is Teen Challenge? I know it's kind of, you found it on this date that you remember exactly. What was that date?
So, yeah, David Wilkerson, Reverend David Wilkerson, powerful man of God, 1958, heeded the call. He was watching a court case on television in New York City of seven teens who were on trial for murder. And God just pricked his heart, and he said, there's such a need there. And so God called him just to travel. He was from the countryside. I forget what state, but he was from the countryside, and he ended up in New York City and it was witnessing this trial, and he was actually getting involved in it and helping and trying to minister to these youth. And then he realized they need something here. There's nothing for them. And so he started Teen Challenge. And from there, it just exploded into this big thing. You know, Nikki Cruz is one of his first student mentors, youth mentors. You know, he traded them. Nikki Cruz and one of his like thug friends from the Mau Mau's, the gang they called it, traded their weapons for Bibles. And so he was able to trade them a sword for a sword, but a right sword. You know, one that penetrates to the divisions of bone marrow. And so that's what happened. And so it just flourished from there. It just expanded into every state. And now every state has at least one Teen Challenge. We're in like over almost 200 countries, up into Canada. And so it's been this movement because of a man's vision. God has blessed that because the hearts of the people involved in it is pure. And they understand the need and how much pain and hurt. And the name Teen Challenge, people think, oh, it's just for teens. But he saw a need for teens, but then realized that it was everybody who had struggles. It wasn't just teens, but the name stuck. So the name same. And so now they've changed some of the wording to say, you know, Adult and Teen Challenge for some of the centers. That way people don't get it confused, because it can be. It can be confusing if you don't know anything about the program.
Yeah, so I guess share with us, like, I mean, you found Teen Challenge and it helped transform your life. Tell us about that experience.
So like I said, during January 29, 2015 is when I said, all right, enough's enough. I came into the program and I surrendered. And one time I remember I was in the chapel there, and it's a faith-based recovery program, 13 months long. You know, it's Bible-based. You do scripture studies. I mean, it's all like prayer all day long. We do praise and worship. It's a real saturated environment of healing. And I was in the chapel, I remember, and I'll never forget it, I was on my knees and I said, Lord, if you're real, if this is real, I need you to take all of these addictions and everything out from me right now. And at that moment, he took every desire to drink, smoke, do drugs, or anything like that gone. Like, this, I felt like there was like a 100-pound elephant lift, or a 1,000-pound elephant lift off my shoulders.
Wow. And that's wild. It almost seems like a Bible, like a like almost a preschool or a Bible school that you're going to for a long amount of time. That's amazing.
Man, yeah.
It is. Yeah. And I tell people, I said, that 13 months I had in that program was something I'll never get again, because it was all the word all day, and it was such a great environment. Mm. You know, once you get out from there, it's the world happens again, and you have to learn how to have a foundation in Christ that carries you into your workplace, and you can, you know, and still, but you have to deal with the things of the day. While you're there, you don't have that to worry about. You don't have to worry about bills. You don't have to worry about, you know, where I'm going to eat, where I'm going to sleep. You know, everything's provided for you.
Then
so all you have to do is really worry about those roots of bitterness and unforgiveness and pain and resentment. All those roots that fester, that cloud your temple for your the Holy Spirit to dwell, that caused you to get to that point.
Yeah.
And then it's a cleansing process. It says in the word, you know, he tries you in a furnace seven times to purify you. It's a process of purification. Mm. And so those tools and those foundation, that foundation you build, is what's going to carry you out that program. And that's why God brought me back 7 years later.
I love that.
Yeah. I said during the break that I'm going to give you a copy of my book because I can't wait to read your book. But even more, I can't wait to sit in on your sermons.
No. And you know what? When you're saying that, just the way you're speaking, man, it sounds very powerful. And it I can tell that you're tapped into that spiritual side of you, because the way you speak, it just flows, and how you talked about how you cleanse that forgiveness and resentment, all that stuff. When you do that, it's like you're freeing yourself of needless suffering. Because we suffer without needing to. We hold resentment. We don't forgive people. We hold grudges. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that person's probably having a cheeseburger right now, and we're over here suffering, angry, ticked off, you know.
Yeah.
And we're not forgiving. But when you forgive, man, you're free. You're free of worrying about what they might be thinking about you, or worried of what they said or what they did. Because at the end of the day, they did it when they were in a place of suffering. They didn't do it because they were bad people. They were just in a tough spot, you know. Yeah. And I love what you just said right there, man. So thank you for sharing that. It's very powerful.
Yeah, we teach the men in the program, you know, you can't carry the burdens of your father. You can't carry the burdens and the sins of your past. It's not your cross to bear.
Mm.
And so we teach them identity, because that is the root of all addiction or struggles that cause you pain and life issues, is identity.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not rooted in the things of God and Christ, it's rooted in the things of the world. And it says, these things too shall pass away.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's rooted in something that's going to pass away and something that's not eternal, it's only a path of destruction.
I don't want to take us off this good flow, because it's just good so stuff. Delicious.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the event, the tables and testimonies.
Tell
us about it.
So God gave me a vision for this event, another amazing vision. He just downloads stuff to me constantly. It's like, I feel like I'm his hard drive. And just
I know, yeah, I love it.
And I've learned to go with it and be a risk taker for the kingdom. And so this name, Tables and Testimonies, came into my spirit. And I said, okay, Lord, you know, this is a name table. What does that mean? He's like, I want you to put on an event, and I want you to bring a testimony. He says, they will know you by the blood of the Lamb and the power and the word of your testimony, right? And Revelation says that. And so I was like, all right. And then I don't have any idea what I'm doing, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, but you know people that do.
Ooh.
I said, okay. Mm. And so in the course of, you know, kind of back a track just a little bit, Within the last year, I've been to some events and met some wonderful ministries, 520 Water Walkers, Burning Torches.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know MK?
MK, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had on the show a little while back. Yeah.
So 520 Water Walkers, I could talk for so long on them. They're doing amazing things in the community for the broken, the lost, and the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Gangsters for Jesus, Paul Parsons is another one. They're in the streets. They're with the broken and lost. They're out there in the parks, you know. And then also Burning Torch Ministries, Joshua Giotto. These ministries, I've been blessed to just kind of be in this, you know, I mentioned yesterday on the show, you know, it's got a network of spiritual spider web. And because I established a relationship with them in the body, when this came up, I said, well, I know who to call now. So I called them, and they said, anything you need, we believe in it. And so Tables and Testimonies is something that's going to be birthed from a place of where you were and where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are, like people that come to the event that aren't saved, where you are now, but where you can be. And so us as believers are going to be there professing how we came out of that bondage. And so somebody witnessing that is going to grasp on more to somebody talking about a testimony than somebody just beating them in the head with a bunch of scripture.
Yep.
You don't win war cars like that. This is 2022. We got to go fishing in ponds with new bait and new ponds, and this is a way for us to do that. And so it's going to be a place that's
going to... You're getting me excited for
me
this.
Me too, man.
I'm excited.
Good stuff, man.
And it's going to be an event that has resources. So free clothes, free hygiene products, free water. We're going to have transitional living homes that are going to be there to help people that may be in a place where they don't know who to call on. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have those places there and say, hey, what do you need? And then we're trying to get them saved and then take them to a booth or tent of a church or a ministry where they can get discipled. Because it says on my flyer here, Matthew 28:19, go make disciples of nations. Well, if we're not doing that, what are we doing?
Mm.
And so that is the premise of this, is just to hear people's hearts. You know, I believe that God's going to show up. You know, we can loosely organize it, but if the Holy Spirit says go, we go.
Man. This is great. Yeah, I'm excited about this. And when I saw musicians, I was thinking, man, is MK and all of them going to be there? So, it's so funny that you mentioned that.
Well, I want to, you know, give a shout out to Third Day to Mouthpiece out of Phoenix, Arizona. Cool. GodOverEverythingGlobal.com. If you guys could just go check that out. It's the only freestanding Christian clothing store in the state of Arizona. Mm. And he's a man of God. His proceeds go to stuff like this, to put on events and bless people and to help kids and get them school supplies. And so it's such a powerful ministry. So he's going to be there ministering. He's actually providing all of our shirts for the event too. And then we're going to have GP from Narrow Path Crew there. Mm. We're going to have Nameless Servant. Tim Valdez is going to be part of it. Praise Chapel is going to have a worship team. Passion Church. I mean, and we're also going to have a guest speaker featured. Isaiah Blancas, the gangster preacher, is going to be there.
Okay. Nice. Man, this sounds like an action-packed event.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah, and this is just a tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's more that are coming on as we speak. And so, the deadline's kind of next week, because it's the 22nd. But if anybody's expressing interest, if you're a pastor, if you're a leader, if you're a worship leader, if you have somebody who has a powerful testimony, you know, get a hold of me.
What is the information if they want to contact to sponsor the van or booth or whatever, that fun stuff?
So it's going to be, you can contact me directly. You can call me 520-448-4370.
Say it again.
Again, 520-448-4370. And that goes directly to my phone, my office phone there. And then my email is going to be my first name. So it's going to be damien@tcaz.org.
Nice.
It's damien@tcaz.org. Again, it's damien@tcaz.org. I also have a QR code on this flyer that maybe you guys could copy and paste on your website.
There you go, video.
And that you scan that QR code, and that gives you the ability to reserve a booth space. And the booth space is $50 if you're doing anything with a 501c3. If you're receiving any donations for your ministry, you have to have a 501. And so that's a way for you to go and do that. Or if you just feel it on your heart to donate to this cause, because it's amazing. Because you have to remember, Teen Challenge, we're self-funded. We don't have any government assistance. And so it's all by people like yourselves that really step out in faith and help stuff like this.
Love it.
Well, I appreciate it, Damien. Thank you for joining us, man.
That was powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that was beautiful.
Absolutely. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Go to veteranrescuemission.org for more information. Always looking for donation of cars and any donations we can get to help house veterans and do some of the great work Teen Challenge does. See you next week. God bless.